Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, blessings and greetings. This is Don Joshua Goodman, and we're live because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, in Torah Chesed, Torah Rachamim, instructions of life, kindness, and mercy. Welcome to Soul Class number 32, which is kind of interesting because actually I didn't originally intend to do in this class tonight, but since we kind of upgraded the level of Blog Talk Radio we're doing, hopefully it's in a clear audio form, we're doing a class tonight on Soul Class number 32. Let's remember what Soul Class refers to. Soul being an acronym for S-7-O, oldest or original, U, universal, L, laws, which is referring to the seven Noah had commandments, Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and it hopefully will be the beginning of a short series within the larger context of disseminating the seven oldest original universal laws as relates to avoiding profaning and blaspheming the name, and for that matter, the names of the Most High Creator. That the many names connect to the Most High Being, the source of various attributes, which are really infinite. For Creator is Ein Sof, infinite. So let us start to dip our spiritual feet into these issues relating to the fear of the Creator. Understanding from an inner perspective of human psyche and Torah, for that matter, that a healthy relationship means not respecting the borders. I mentioned it means to respect the borders of another human being, especially when the being is the source of all existence. Please join your friendly Cyrus Day's neighborhood to our activists. That's myself, Don Joshua Goodman. Ahava chad, one love, goel chad, one destiny. That being said, Douglas, I think we have a caller. Let's see who it is. Caller.
Hello. Good evening. Yes, shalom.
From Kathleen Saramana from Blazing a Trail, British Columbia. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank you very much for connecting me to those vegan lattes, for getting ready for Hanukkah. We're now about 11 days to Hanukkah. But, you know, we're doing a very short show tonight. So I do have to do a lot of these shows. And I chose actually to do them in 15-minute programs because there's a lot of information to cover. And I think many people might find it overwhelming to deal with this topic because it does deal for some people with the essence of their worship of the Most High in terms of them pronouncing the names of the Most High, not in the context of the verse, whether it be in English or Hebrew or any other language. And so we don't come to bruise feelings, but hopefully to elevate the intellect, to elevate the feelings. So that's
and
sort of
actually right.
Right. So I'd like to start off, Catherine, Sarah, with a teaching from the Talmud called God's Prayer from the Talmudic Tractate of Brachot. The Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, which is Yossi the son of Zimra, how do we know that the Holy One, blessed be He, prays? Because it says in Isaiah 56, verse 7, I will bring them to my sacred mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Now, it does not say their house of prayer, so you might think the temple is only something for the Jewish people, it's the nations. But actually, whose house of prayer is it? It's the Most High's house of prayer. From here you see that the Holy One, blessed He, prays, and the Talmud asks, what does the Most High pray? So Rizuchi Bar Tobi, Rizuchi being the name of this rabbi, who is the son of another sage, Tobi, says in the name of Rav. So this is, you know, of course, these rabbis understood it from the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine inspiration. They understood from a holy perspective that the Most High's consciousness would be manifested as the following for us to understand on a human level. And it reads as following. May it be my will that my mercy should suppress my anger and that my attribute of mercy should dominate all my other attributes so I may conduct myself with my children with mercy, that I should deal with them not according to the strict letter of the law, but to do for them more than they have rightfully earned. Let me ask you this, Catherine, sir, before we get into the crux of this presentation that we've got about 10 minutes to go. You know, here's a revelation of godliness that we're being told by the rabbis of 1700, 1800, maybe 2000 years ago, that the Most High wants to reveal the attribute of mercy, and there's something that he's hinting to. What do you think the Most High is hinting to? He's saying that he wants to. Of course he can if he wants to. But what do you take from this statement? And then I'll kind of like fill in the blanks if I think some of the blanks need to be filled in.
Okay. Well, maybe what that statement means is for those who lack the understanding of what it really means to blaspheme God's holy name, because a lot of people have the custom to pronounce the name of God regularly, and they are innocent because they don't know, and I am one of them.
Well, you see that, you know, you were actually, you know, given the chance to reconsider the matters because, you know, in other matters, I'm not going to try to read in with some sort of highfalutin spiritual insight, but how I understand it is that the projection of that teaching from the Talmudic tractate of Brochus is saying that the Almighty is pure mercy because he had no obligation to create this creation. He created it out of love and mercy. But it's the conduct of the human race, the children of man, the children of Noah, the children of Israel, which sometimes causes an elicitation of the attributes of judgment. So the Most High, I think, is hinting to us, I will conquer my attribute of justice and of judgment, I should say, not justice, judgment, if you will act according with others and if human beings will act in this way, this will allow the flow from above to be complete revelations of mercy upon the human race. Am I being clear?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
And that's where really we're going.
Sorry.
Right. That's where we're going with these teachings here, especially concerning avoiding profaning the name of the Most High or even blaspheming Heaven's good Creator's name. So I'd like to go back historically speaking, and talk about the first time that you see it in the Torah, the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 26, and it says about Seth. Now, Seth was the son who replaced the slain son of, you know, Abel. In Hebrew, his name is Hevel. And in Hebrew, the name Seth actually is called Shait. Like you would say S-H-A-T. If you say it in Ashkenazi, my European form of pronouncing the Hebrew, Shait. And it says in chapter 4, verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his son Enosh, which sounds Enosh is the English pronunciation, which happens to be the Hebrew pronunciation. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, that sounds pretty nice. Unfortunately, though, Rashi, who is the primary elucidator of the Torah, explains that actually where the Hebrew word huchal, which is translated means call upon, the root of huchal is the word chulin, which is to profane, meaning men began at that time, Rashi asserts, that men became to call the names of men and the names of idols by the names of the Most High, to make themselves idols and to call them divine beings. So the Rambam backs this up in the laws of the laws of idolatry, which is one of his parts, one of the sections in his 14-part epic work called Mishneh Torah, where he talks about where idolatry began. Now, we're not going to go into idolatry tonight, but we only have about 6 minutes left. But I just want to point out, this is the first point where we see the profanation, the speaking of the usage of the name of the Most High for reasons that were not holy. Now, the second place that we see in the Torah where there is actually not just a profanation, using the name of the Most High in vain, as Rashi explained, because people started calling the idols and other people gods, is in chapter 24, verse 10, in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Vayikra, where it says the following. The son of an Israelite man went out, and he was the son of an Egyptian man among the children of Israel. And they fought in the camp, the son of the Israelite woman and an Israelite man. So the son of the Israelite woman pronounced the name in blasphemy, so they brought him to Moses. The name of his mother was Shulamit, daughter of Bivri, the tribe of Dan. They placed him under guard to clarify themselves to Hashem. And then it says that the Most High, Hashem, spoke to Moses in chapter 24, verse 13. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Remove the blasphemer to the outside of the camp, and those who heard him shall lean their hands upon his head, and the assembly shall stone him. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, anyone who will blaspheme his God shall bear his sin, and one who pronounced blasphemy the name of the Most High shall be put to death. The entire assembly shall stone him, proselyte and native alike. And when he blasphemes the name, he shall be put to death." So then we see here, and then later in chapter 24, verse 23, that person was actually stoned. So in the time of the prophet Moses, there was a lot of culpability, a lot of responsibility, a lot of I'm being redundant, but it's just to bring out a certain point. When there was a prophet around and the teachings were very clear and the people had a clear understanding of the teachings, there was the responsibility of any Israelite to avoid not just using the name of the Most High in vain, but cursing the Most High with one of the names of the Most High. So that there are two historical perspectives. First we had from the book of Genesis.
Yes.
Chapter 4, verse 26. And then that's how it was applied by the children of Noah, back before even there was a Noah, and how it applied to the Israelites. However, in modern-day terms, if a person is going to blaspheme the name of the Most High, no one's going to put them to death.
No.
Because the Israelite court has no authority. And to be quite frankly, the Noahides do not have this knowledge where anyone could be truly culpable. And what is my proof of this? That we see that when Israel went into the land under the leadership of Yeshua, Joshua, who took over from Moshe,
yes,
there were three options given to the Canaanites. They basically could leave the land, which the Girgashites left, and they went into Africa. And the other ones made war with Israel. And then after X amount of years, when the Israelites settled in, Joshua and the Israelites settled in, you don't see, I don't read of stories in Tanakh where they actually hold in court or enforcing the law if there was any blasphemy going on. I mean, a lot of things going on. So we see that there's always been, although there's been the strict letter of the law, there is a leniency. But now in these days, before we get together, before the full revelation of the Mashiach, the Messiah, that we have to understand that it won't be that all of a sudden we're going to see guillotines and a lot of stones being prepared to stone people and chop people's heads off, but rather there'll be a massive educational manifestation, revelation for the human race. And
yes,
people, by the fact they'll be educated properly, they're not going to want to profane the name of the Most High. They won't want to blaspheme with the name of the Most High. Would you like to chime in, Catherine? So we've got about 2 minutes left.
This is true. This is true, Brother Dunn. And you know what? I'm feeling exactly what you're saying. It's, you don't want to use the name of God. You don't want to use it. It's just something that it just moves you. And it just reminds me quickly, I wanted to say, what came to me was you have to feel the pain in order to feel the shame. When I was a kid, I was 13, and I said to my mom, "Can I call you Maria?" And she gave me a dirty look, and she looked at me with eyes I'll never forget, and my face went red. She says, "Don't you ever call me by my first name ever again."
Right.
And I felt the shame.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then you made the correction. You didn't call her by her first name anymore.
Never, you know, because she would probably slap my face so hard. I will never forget it.
we have about 30 seconds, and I want to thank you. We're going to make this as a continuing series because, you see, I wanted to give a historical perspective.
Thank you.
And then hopefully in the next coming shows, this is going to take a lot of shows because it's a lot of information. And I think if we do it in 48 seconds. If we do it in like these little bites, people meditate
upon
these things.
We'll get the message across. Yeah, it's true. I believe that, Brother Dunn. We forget because so many years have passed by, but we just need to remind ourselves. We wouldn't call our Father by his first name, so why would we call Hashem by his first name? The shame, the pain.
Right. But we can say his name within the context of a full verse.
But you're
going to
teach us, right? You'll show us that in the next shows, right?
Well, I hope so. Anyone, listen, we got 15 seconds to go. I just want to invite you, Captain Simon, and anyone else tomorrow. From 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. tomorrow, we're going to have a show. Please check it out. There's a Soul Class number 32. Have a good night, everyone. Ahavachad, one love to everyone.
Shalom. Thank you.